You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega this week. As Venezuelans pour out of their troubled country, many of them are traveling to the neighboring Brazilian state of Roraima. And this past weekend, tensions boiled over in a border town when a Brazilian shopkeeper accused a Venezuelan refugee of attacking him.
Basically, people went into vigilante mode, started attacking Venezuelan refugees in the bus terminal in the city. People fled back to Venezuela, to the Venezuelan side of the border. There are videos of, you know, bonfires being started with people's belongings and people screaming, you know, Brazil is for Brazilians, things like that.
Zoe Sullivan is a freelance reporter based in Brazil. She visited Roraima's capital, Boa Vista, the week before the attack to report on the refugees living there.
The Brazilian government's policy basically has been to create shelters, and in March it announced this policy of interiorization, basically of taking people who had fled from Venezuela and moving them to other Brazilian capitals further away from the border. However, there have been some, you know, 50,000 people who have arrived, and only 820 have been transferred in this fashion. So, you know, there are literally thousands of people sleeping on the street of the capital city, Boa Vista, which has a population of about 330,000 people now. So it's a small city, and it's seen its population grow by more than 10% over the past couple of years with this influx. And so there are a lot of tensions. The health services have seen a huge surge in the number of people using the services because basically everything has fallen apart in Venezuela. So the situation is really dire, and people are coming literally to try and survive, which means they're not in the best physical condition.
So they're arriving trying to survive, and then they're faced with this anti-immigrant sentiment. You spoke with some of these Venezuelan refugees in Boa Vista. Did they know that there would be some Brazilians who would be unwelcoming to them before they tried to cross the border? Or did they maybe just have no choice and come regardless?
I mean, that's a really good question. I spoke with people who had come at different times. I don't know, you know, maybe now there will be more awareness. There have been other incidents in the past, but I think for most people, you know, it's really an issue of even if people have work and have a salary, their salaries aren't enough to eat. Mm-hmm. They can't afford food. And so basically, you know, people are doing whatever they can to try and survive. And I think, you know, the challenges facing Roraima are certainly real. But I also think there has been a political game going on. There are elections coming up in October. The governor is up for re-election. And my impression is also that, you know, she has used this crisis to appeal to hardline conservatives who think, you know, that the state should not be accepting so many people.
What kind of rhetoric is she using? What kind of rhetoric are you hearing in the political discourse over there about the immigrants?
So, I mean, basically what I'm hearing from the state and local government is that the federal government is not doing enough and that it should be doing more to deal with the situation, which to some extent could be a valid criticism. At the same time, the governor issued a request to the Supreme Court asking that the border be closed, as the one cabinet official said to me, you know, basically so they could organize the response. A local judge ended up issuing an order closing the border about 10 days ago. And then when a Supreme Court justice reversed that, it also contributed, I think, to some resentment again of the federal government and the sense that the federal government doesn't really know what's happening locally and isn't in touch.
And that local sentiment, that anti-refugee local sentiment in the area that borders Venezuela, is that national? Are you hearing anti-immigrant views elsewhere in Brazil?
You know, I have not. I live elsewhere in the country. I live in the Northeast, and you know, there isn't a huge amount of immigration in that part of the country, so I can't say that I have sensed that there. There is a a presidential election going on right now, and one of the front runners is a former military officer who is an apologist for the dictatorship. His name is Jair Bolsonaro, and he has taken on some of the rhetoric that President Trump uses or has used during his campaign. You know, the idea that he wants to make Brazil great again, for example. And so that was certainly something that I saw, you know, that I noticed when I was in Roraima, this sort of very nationalist perspective.
There's a story that I heard you told about a cab driver who said something along the lines of putting Brazil first, which is seems similar to right. the rhetoric that Trump has used in America.
Right.
Was that sentiment related to the Venezuelan refugees coming across the border?
Yes, absolutely. And I spoke with another cab driver who used to work as a gardener, who said, you know, that he is now working as a cab driver, as an Uber driver, really, because the Venezuelans charge much less for the same work. And so, you know, people are going with the cheaper labor and he's out of a job, essentially. And so that obviously creates resentment.
Wow. Some very familiar themes. Zoe Sullivan is a freelance reporter based in Brazil. Zoe, thanks for bringing us the story. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.